WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
Of his fellow Jews still stand outside God's kingdom. John 1:11-13. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God. It would seem that chapter 12 would be the next chapter of practical application to our walk. However, Paul adds a parenthesis in chapters 9, 10, and 11. And these three books form a unit to show us that God's program of righteousness is by faith alone. And it does not nullify another part of his program, his promise to Israel as a nation. Paul needs for 11:33 to be taken seriously. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So who are we to make judgments and set opinions on things of God when his judgments are unsearchable? Who are we to set our tongue on what we say God is doing and make new judgment on it? And people do it all the time. They put their opinions on God's work. He does not claim to know the answers from A to Z. That is a very good lesson, I think, for the church today. As I stand before you, I always tell you, I don't know the answers. I just preach. But he does claim to have found important clues which were enough for man to know of God's unfathomable designs. That is enough for us to know. It is enough for me to know that even though things may not go right one day, or I am in the process of a battle, or the church is in a battle moving forward, or there are things going on around me that are circumstances, it is enough for me to know that God has unfathomable designs going on, and all I have to do is follow him and trust him and not look at the circumstances. That is enough for us to know.
Absolutely.
And it's called faith. In verse 6, he makes a plain statement. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. And that is the word of God. This true Israel of God knows no national frontiers. According to Revelation 19, this company of saints stand in the presence of the Lord. They ascribe their victory to the Lord our God. Blessed are those who have kept themselves unspotted from the world. Yet more blessed are those who have kept themselves unspotted in the world. The elect's present blessedness and their fitness to appear in the presence of God have been won for them by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The heavenly dwelling place of God is itself the temple. He will spread his tent or tabernacle over us, and God's presence is his glory among us.
Amen.
Before proceeding into this chapter, let us again review the manifold assurances. I've got it every week, what every chapter brought to us, the manifold assurances of the certainty revealed to us in Romans are our full and final salvation and our glorification and our justification. Number one, we have been acquitted of guilt. We've been freed from sin's dominion. Not only are we free from the acts of sin, but our sin nature has been taken away. Or it can be taken away if we allow it. You can still sin if you want to, just say. And you do that by, you make up your mind. It's a decision. You can choose to sin or not. The Holy Spirit is enabling us to meet God's standard of righteousness through the gift of righteousness. No one can accuse us or condemn us. They might say it to you, but it won't touch you. You don't receive it. It can't come near you. There is no condemnation for those who are walking after the Spirit. We are sons of God under His Holy Spirit control. We are assured with hope as a certainty of our deliverance from natural corruption, the natural corruption of the body. Our salvation does not depend on human failure or success, but upon the sovereign purposes of God. We can fall, and we can jump out, and we can get out, but as long as we're holding on to Jesus Christ, our salvation is sealed. You heard me when I was praying this morning when I closed my prayer. I said, Jesus, keep me. Mm-hmm. We're studying this book on Sunday night about heaven written by Wendy Alec. And she's giving examples in there of what God showed her when she was heaven, of those ministers who fell because of bitterness. This great evangelist who didn't finish out her ministry because of loneliness and despair. You are not immune from these attacks of the devil. Don't you know that these attacks from the devil are to steal from you your place in Christ and your destiny? But as long as you're holding on to Christ, they can't steal your salvation. The devil cannot steal our salvation. Our salvation is sealed. Now, do I think you can backslide and lose your salvation? Well, I know you can backslide, but then God says He's married to the backslider.
Amen.
So I don't get into that. That's God's business. Sometimes you just don't get into God's business. God cannot fail. There is no defeat in Jesus. And we can't go under for going over. When Johnny Warren was ministering to me in November, he says, can't is not part of your vocabulary. You know why can't is not part of my vocabulary? It's not part of God's vocabulary. If I've got God in me, I'm not going to, I can't. It's not part of who I am. I have an I can God. We must persevere and prevail in prayer. The indwelling Spirit causes us to pray in the perfect will of the Father. You're no longer ordering Him around and telling Him to rearrange the earth and the universe according to what you think He ought to be doing. He is sanctifying us, using our natural weaknesses, the assaults of Satan, adversities, and the uprising of indwelling sin. Even our failures are part of God's gracious purpose to make us more Christ-like. All my naysayers that down through the years, they watched this church go through all kinds of things, and we've been through a lot, and thank y'all for going through it with me. All these naysayers say, well, she's going to quit now. Well, she's going to quit now. No, because quit's not part of my vocabulary. He foreknew us, not due to any virtue on our part. He called us, and then we responded in faith. And then through faith, He justified us. Our glorification is just as certain to come to pass as our calling and our justification, if we hold on to Him. All that is required of us is to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, receive the Holy Spirit, and be willing to be made more Christ-like daily. And then there was Romans 8:19, which said there's another reckoning where we have to take up our cross and follow Him. But all of this is given to us free, in our account, put in our account free charge. Nothing can separate us from Christ. He said it Himself. Not the severest trials, all that life brings us, death, neither time nor space, creature or created, can separate us from the love of Christ. The only way we can get out of where we're supposed to be is we jump ship. As a visual failure, can His sovereign purpose for us be changed because of our failure. Israel has rejected the Messiah. They foolishly imagined that they could attain righteousness through human effort. I figured that out early on. These chapters are a forthright address to the subject of election. Paul, we can't be sitting around right now. Paul communicates the same desperate passion for the Jews as did Jesus. And we should continue to have that great passion for the Jews. Oh, we love the Jews. But our job is to call them to Christ. Paul makes a startling statement when he says he would be accursed to save Israel. Moses is the only other recorded man in the Bible other than Jesus who offered his soul in exchange for Israel. Exodus 32:32-33. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray you, out of your book, which you have written. When we're studying these, we've been three books that we've been studying in heaven. Every single one of those books, they have a vision of the book in heaven that has your name in it. There's a whole book. Moses had a book in heaven. He knew he had a book in heaven because God had taken him into heaven and showed him all the things, showed him how he wanted his temple and his tabernacle set up. He wanted the tabernacle set up like the one in heaven, so he showed it to Moses. So Moses saw the book because he said, here he says, blot me out of your book, which you have written. You're written in a book in heaven. And then the Lord said to Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, I don't want to get blotted out. I want to get myself straight with God. And it's a daily job. At this point in, in Paul's ministry, the Jews have persecuted him when he wrote this to the extent of trying to. And this is Paul's heart speaking, not by the Spirit of God. He was well aware that the death of a man like himself would save no one. He also knew there was no way for him to be separated from Jesus. Passion made Paul a great preacher, and he's expressing his great passion for Israel. The word Israelites means those who prevail with God. Church, you've got to prevail with God. You have to press in. You have to pray in. You have to stop murmuring and complaining. You have to stop fussing. You have to get in and you have to prevail with God. And His will be done and His purposes will be done on the earth. Beyond being God's chosen, Paul says they enjoyed seven astonishing privileges from the hand of God. And he's speaking here of the Israelites. They were adopted before the eyes of the whole world as God's chosen people. He revealed them. When he parted that Red Sea, when he fed them in that wilderness, I mean, he was revealing, these are my people.
Hallelujah.
They enjoyed glorious manifestations of his presence in their midst. They experienced the visitation of the Shekinah glory. God made covenants with them, guaranteeing they would ultimately rule the world as a righteous kingdom. He entrusted his law to them, which revealed his standard of righteousness. They received amazing promises concerning salvation for the entire world, a land of their own, and through them would their seed would come the Messiah. God appeared to the patriarchs in person. Christ himself was a Jew. And Jesus is God over all, worthy of praise forever. Salvation is from the Jews, the Word of God says.
Amen.
The apostles were Jews.
Amen.
He entrusted the Holy Scriptures to them. They wrote it. They wrote the whole Bible. Except for the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts was written by Luke, who was a Gentile. So Israel's sovereign election as a nation on earth has already occurred. It is sealed in the Bible. It has already been sealed.
Amen. Jerusalem is the gap.
And Jerusalem is sealed. Yes. Jerusalem is a sealed city. However, the fullness of the glory of the nation is yet to be completed. Why did God choose this nation and load her up with such fabulous promises? I think we're safe to conclude that it was because of Abraham. That's what the New Testament says. God was so pleased with the faith of this one man that he elected to make a nation out of him. And through his seed, those who will have the Son, which is faith, we all become part of that holy nation. Genesis 12:2, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Do you know what a blessing it is for God to make you a blessing?
Mm-hmm.
As a pastor, there are people who are troublemakers. Troubled people are trouble.
Yeah.
They're listening. Yeah. But can you imagine if God made you a blessing? Will you become a blessing?
Amen.
And you shall be a blessing.
Hallelujah.
That wherever you go, wherever your feet are established, that place becomes a blessing. That when you speak into people's lives, you're bringing life to them. You're bringing a blessing to the house. You got to claim that word, church.
Yes, Lord.
Claim it right now. I
shall be
a blessing.
A blessing.
According to the word of God.
According to the word of God.
Deuteronomy 14:2. He has chosen you above all the nations of the earth to be a peculiar people unto himself. God chose Israel through election. It is not proper to refer to her as God's ancient people, for she's still his nation, in spite of her rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He has not forsaken her, and he still loves her. As we've seen, the Jews gathered back to Israel, and we've seen how, you go over there and you see how beautiful that nation is and how beautiful Jerusalem is where the Jews occupy it. But where the Arabs occupy it, it is all dark and dreary and ugly. But every place where the Jews occupy it, it is absolutely glorious. That's God's eternal blessing upon these people.
Mm-hmm. And the fruit and the juice, they say it's the sweetest fruit and juice anywhere in the world.
Amen. Exodus 19:6. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God begins his purpose with a man and he unfolds it in a nation. Jesus established his holy nation, the kingdom of God on earth, as it is in heaven. We're part of that holy nation. 1 Peter 2:9 reaffirmed all that God promised Israel in the Old Testament is reaffirmed in the New Testament. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I just read that promise to Israel. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, who with his chosen vessel, when he prophesied to Peter to tell Paul, he says, I have chosen Paul to go into the Gentiles and to the kings to bring them out of darkness into the light.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And those who have received Jesus as the Messiah will be part of his holy nation. Romans 9, 6 through 8. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise, are counted for the seed. Isaac was the child of promise. Isaac was the child of promise. And it's through the child of promise that the seed came down through that remnant that came through Mary that brought forth the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. It was not Ishmael.
Yeah. Sonia asked me recently, what about Abraham's seed and those other nations? I said there was only one seed that came down through Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And this speaks of one seed.
Mm-hmm.
And this seed is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why he kept the Israelites, that the one that he kept, that Ezra brought over, he kept that remnant pure. And the only ones who could go back to Israel, they had to be totally pure. And he named out those who could go back. But those who had polluted themselves into the system, they could not go back, because he had to bring forth that remnant that brought forth that pure seed from the seed of Isaac, to which would bring forth Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Paul anticipates a question. Can the word of God fail? Can God fail to keep these promises made to Abraham? When God made these promises to Abraham, he swore by himself. How can he fail to keep those promises and be true to his word? One of these books that we were reading on heaven, it says Abraham had the whole Colosseum, and there are just millions of people listening to the faith of Abraham. Not everyone who was born into a Christian home is automatically a Christian. Right? Some of you were born into a Christian home. You might have gone to church on Sunday. But when the charismatic revival came through in the 70s, then you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone who was born a Jew is of the seed of Abraham. God's promises to Israel are for the believers by faith. It says that in Romans 9. Abraham had 8 sons, yet only Isaac was to make up the chosen line. God made it perfectly clear from the beginning. His promises did not pertain to all of Abraham's children. Now, today, if they will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. Just like every other Gentile in the world, if they will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved, and he'll break off that old warring spirit on them. Diana, how are you doing? Oh, you started that book on the Marbury Pirates and Andrew Jackson.
Yes.
I just want to make a point here that the first war that the United States of America ever fought on foreign soil was against an Islamic nation. And that we set our flag, and there was a battle. You know, God's always used Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was sent to Egypt to be saved from being killed by Herod. The Jews were sent to Egypt to be saved. Egypt, he's always used Egypt. Okay, this General Eaton, the Barbary pirates were tearing up our merchant ships, and they were Islamic. And this General Eaton convinced Andrew Jackson that he could go to Egypt and he could pull together an army out of Egypt along with 7 or 8 Marines. That's why we have that song on the shores of Tripoli, okay, because of that battle. He marched across the desert to this city, and I can't remember the name, it starts with a D, near Tripoli in Benghazi. Benghazi's right in there. And he set up the American flag in an Islamic nation. It was the first battle we ever fought on foreign soil.
Mm.
We went in and we saved 300 Christians. There was a treaty signed that was State Department working against the military as a
whole other message, but we've got to, we have got to keep an eye. That's still going on. That hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. The State Department undercut this guy. He was going to march across his next city. He was going to take him to Benghazi, and then he was going to Tripoli. And we had a leader, was his name, a State Department ambassador to that area. He went in and undercut Eaton and made a deal and cut off Eaton's army from going in. If we had gone in and we had taken Benghazi then, and we had taken Tripoli then, we wouldn't be in some of the battles we're in. Anyway, thank you. Where was I? Okay. There were three different meanings for the phrase seed of Abraham. Physical descendants, one. A remnant within the nation of Israel, which he always kept, true, pure remnant, always. And today I believe these are the Messianic Jews who believe in Jesus Christ. Those Jews who have come in and accepted Jesus as their Savior. Gentiles who believe the gospel and are born again of the Spirit. I'm the seed of Abraham, okay? The Old Testament gives evidence of a preliminary narrowing process in God's purposes, and it is to this life that the present situation is to be explained. The rejection of Christ by most of the Jews does not come as a surprise to God. And it should not be so to the church, since it's in line with divine principle. As in the early history of Israel, his habit was to select only one branch of the family tree for his special purposes. So it has been designed that at first the church should contain only a certain number of Jews. Okay, you think God made a mistake in this? Paul's reading over it. Do you think God made a mistake in it? Neither DNA nor behavior qualifies a Jew for divine acceptance. Isaac was selected and chosen before he was born. He was supernaturally born as a child of promise. He is a type of the people meant to receive the spiritual promise. The phrase, children of promise, are those who are miraculously born by the power of God's promises. Mm-hmm. Only those who are born again through the power of God's word are heirs as children of promise. True children of God are those who are born as a result of believing. God set the exact time for Isaac's birth. He said, at this time next year. And then he supplied the power for a 100-year-old woman to get pregnant and have a baby. 9:9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah will have a son. I've told you this story before, but I must keep telling it. I must keep declaring it wherever I go. I had a hard time getting pregnant. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. I was married 6 years, I guess, before I had Shannon. I prayed and prayed for both children, 5 years between the girls. And when the children were born, you were spoken it. You told me that they both were children of promise. You told me that after they were born. Mm-hmm. Okay, that means they got a call in their life. That means God's got a purpose for them. I was naive enough to think that they would sail through life with that kind of promise on their life. That you will know these children of promise get attacked from every direction. And they've got to overcome the spirit of their age. Because that's what they're going to be given the authority over. If we follow the children of promise, and you'll see it, take your child of promise, children of promise, and do a word study on it. Throughout the Bible, we will see that it's a challenged journey. Better pray for them. Better not condemn them. Better not criticize them. Better pray for them. I threatened Red Mouse Deck, absolutely. Chapter 9, 10 through 13. And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, having not done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, and as it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Listen, people, the fact that you are here today, that you are so beloved of the Lord, you've been chosen. You're just not some little Christian floating around out there hoping to make it to heaven.
Thank you.
You're elect of God. This is an example of God's right to choose whomever he pleases as the heirs of his promise. His choices are based on foreknowledge. As you heard me say, there was a meeting before the earth was created between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They called your name out then. He chooses as his companions who he will in eternal fellowship. Based on eternal purpose, not an arbitrary selection which say, I like you or I don't like you. God knew the outcome of the two boys' lives before they were born because he's omniscient. And you say, well, God, that's not fair. Well, who said God was fair? God's God. People say, well, what God did he say? No, God's God. God would that none will perish, 2 Peter 3:9. And he sent his son to die for all men. Malachi 1:2-4. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, wherein have I loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord. Yes, I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. And I laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts. They shall build and I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord has indignation.
Amen.
God, if one word of God will come to pass, the other one will too. Esau opposed God's divine plan. So Paul says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is neither of him that wills nor of him that runs, but God that shows mercy. But this should be, I mean, people, the time is coming, and we'll get there in the next three chapters, when the time of the Gentiles is going on out. It's time. You're going to have to get yourself right with the Lord. We're going to have a passion for souls. Because when that time closes down, it's going to be like it closed down on the Jews.
Right.
It's impossible for God to make an unjust decision. God can heal a man's heart. And his mercy is consistent with his eternal purpose. The nation of Israel had forsaken the Lord to worship the golden calf. And Moses pleaded with them, with God. God promised to spare the nation, but reserved the right to pick those in Israel whom he wanted to save. He chose them purely by mercy. Romans 9:17-18. For the scripture says of Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will be pardoned. Vessels of honor or dishonor? You've been chosen as a vessel of honor.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know how I got there, but praise God I did.
Amen.
Okay, let's see how I'm doing here. I've got to get this closed down. And the more I preach these, the longer it gets. Old Testament scripture is clear that God raised up Pharaoh and made him king of Egypt. for his purposes. Okay, we've got to bring those in here. Okay, you see the dragon coming together now? Remember the word the Lord gave about the dragon and the Illuminati, the one world order. The one world order set up that budget that Trump was forced to sign last week. Okay, so now we got the dragon coming together. And when we studied out the dragon, I forgot I gave you that word. Okay, the head of the dragon is in China. But North Korea and South Korea both have the dragon as part of their symbolism over the nation. That's the symbol over their nation. Okay, so when the Lord says the dragon and the Illuminati are coming together to bring down Trump, the three dragons are now joining together with South Korea, North Korea, and China, and they're joining with the Illuminati to bring down Trump. Now, church, you have authority over this, and it's the church's place to pray and bring this power down because God has given you the authority.
Amen.
I believe that Kim Jong-un is now in China.
Yeah. Wow. They're bringing their, that dragon is spirit.
Connecting.
Okay, and it's now the three pieces of the dragon are coming together. Okay. God does not put hardness in a person's heart. But he knows by foreknowledge that the hardness is already there and knows just how to use it for his purposes. The Lord strives with people only to a certain point. The Lord did not strive with Pharaoh. He did strive. He gave Pharaoh a tear multiple times. After that, he removes the witness of the Spirit and the sweet influence that will soften a man's heart. The Lord's grace is like the sun. The same rays soften wax and harden clay. The rays of the sun do not make either one of them. The gospel of faith and righteousness is easily attained and universally available. Law of righteousness demands lifelong success in the moral struggle as its prerequisite for eternal life. Romans 9:19-21, you will say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall the same form say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Be careful how you talk to God. Be careful how you talk to God, but go in respectfully. Something created has no right to challenge its creator. Because of God's holy nature, everything he does, no matter how it looks to us, is right and good. The divine craftsman molds two pieces of clay from the same lump. The lump represents sinful humanity. The clay is already sinful. He didn't make it that way. The entire lump is guilty. This is a metaphor, not literally. God can send the whole lump to hell and be perfectly just. He has a right to make a Moses or a Pharaoh out of the same lump of clay. Dr. Bill Hammond quoted, and I think this is wonderful, you'll hear me say it often, everything God needed to create a man, he put it in the earth. 22-23. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves to wit the redemption of our body. He gave us his own nature, the power of the Holy Spirit to change our lump of clay into a beautiful vessel like his son, a vessel of honor. That's a long way for a piece of sinful clay to travel. 24-26, even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he says in Hosea, I will call them my people which are not my people, and her beloved which was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, therefore shall they be called the children of the living God. The prophet Hosea foretold the calling of the Gentiles to salvation. This prophecy had to wait until after Pentecost to be fulfilled. We have to declare We have to continually declare what God has said he will do.
Yes.
Our generation must declare what God said. The prophets by that are placed upon the earth. John the Baptist had to declare that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. We have to declare the season of the Lord. And God must put it in that mouth of the prophets. And we must come into agreement with what God says.
Amen.
27 through 29. We're almost finished. I'm hurrying. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of hosts had left us a seed, we would be a sign and been made unto like Gomorrah. He kept a pure seed by the power of his sovereignty that we might be saved. This people is a spiritual nation and described, as I mentioned before, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Zechariah 14, 1 through 4 is a promise. The Lord will spare a remnant because of the national promises he made to Abraham, which he must keep. When Jesus returns to plant his feet upon the Mount of Olives, those remaining Jews will look upon him whom they have pierced. The remnant, inclusive of Gentile Christians, will again become his earthly nation in the kingdom and rule and reign with Christ Jesus. Verse 30 through 33, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, and as it is written, now this is all talking by the Holy Ghost. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whoever believes on me, him she shall not be ashamed. Let me tell you, all offense is the root of pride. If we are humble, we will refuse to be offended. I said, if we will humble ourselves, we will refuse to be offended.
Amen.
Amen. Paul summarizes his sermon. He wants to be sure they don't miss what he's saying. Prophecy is now history. God used his right of selection. God knew Israel would forsake him. Gentiles would be saved and receive the promise by faith. But we Gentiles haven't done any better. God has a remnant in us. The word of God has not failed. Everything has come to pass exactly as God said it would. We became righteous through faith. We believe God as did Abraham, and it is accounted to us as righteousness. Jesus is the stone, and it kicked him aside. He is Christ the rock. The stumbling stone appears many times in the Old Testament. He was the gift their pride could not receive. He did not come as a king. Jesus can be a stumbling stone or a stepping stone. The humble will receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and will not be offended. Behold, the Lamb has proclaimed, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world, saying to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. So as we continue to chapters 10 through 11 next week, Paul makes it clear the present state of affairs was not to be permanent. Paul declares God's election.
election of the Jews and the Old Testament promise to them will come into fruition when the full number of the Gentiles has been incorporated into the church. None of this has caught God by surprise. Then and only then, it would be the return of the Jews as a whole. Not a mere handful as now. Thank God we have a Jewish lady in this house who loves Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and thus to reveal their now hidden destiny as God's elect. His promise does not fail.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.